All right, easy here for my latest partner, ExpressVPN. You're like, what the hell is that? I'll get to that. Calm down. First of all, going online without ExpressVPN is like forgetting to mute yourself on a Zoom meeting. Do you really want all of your coworkers to hear you trash talking them? Okay, so that's kind of like helping me illustrate to you what's up. Why everybody needs a VPN. Okay, so everything you do online, the shows you watch, the websites you go to, anything you do online, that gets sent to your internet service provider, including your mobile network providers. They know every single website you visit. All right? Reroute 100% of your traffic to ExpressVPN through their secure encrypted servers so your ISP cannot see your browsing history. Privacy is really big to a lot of folks, so that's why this is very, very important. ExpressVPN is the best. They hide your IP address, making it extremely difficult for third parties to track your online activity. That's important for your old pal EZ because with my setup, I can't have any compromises. My internet is so important for doing what I do that if anything affects what I do, that's trouble. That's why I use ExpressVPN. Very easy to use. You just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. Works on all of your devices too, phones, laptops, tablets, more, so you can stay private on the go. I swear by this, and my life is so much easier now that the Eric Zane Show podcast is utilizing ExpressVPN. So what you need to do is protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/Zane. That's expressvpn.com/Zane. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Zane. Hello, 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 and welcome in to the Eric Zane Show podcast. All right, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio, found at impactpowersportsmi.com. Before I get to the top thing that I want to talk about today, you know, one of the things that I have been complaining about for the past month has been this pinched nerve in my neck. You've heard me talk about it incessantly. That's because it's always on my mind. Because at any given time, I will feel like shooting sensations of lightning going down my shoulder, into my arm, and ending in my hand. And all of a sudden, my hand is numb, pins and needles. I can't feel anything. I'm like, what the hell? And it... While I'm trying to get rid of that and that uncomfortable sensation and the pain that is involved with it, I've also been like, well, now what in the world is causing it? What could have caused it? And I think it was one of you who suggested that it was because of it was posture related, looking at computer screens. And I think you're right. It might have been Joe Pellerito who suggested tech neck, but the specific level of it is goes like this. It's since, because I've done this, I've been doing this show for 5+ years. What in the world has changed? Well, the only thing that's changed is I started doing the radio show. Now, you can't see it from where you are right now as you look at me, but there are two other monitors. And one of the things about those monitors that I use to do the radio show is the font is very small, and it can't be changed. So what I've noticed that I do is when I want to read the computer, I lean way forward and crane my neck in a particular way. And I think I've pinpointed that as the root cause of my trouble. So today, I go, all right, let's try something different because it's not working at all. I mean, I don't give a shit if it's a chiropractor fixing my spine or whatever the hell you dumbasses say I need, or if I'm getting physical rehab, or even medicine or surgery, if I'm still doing the thing that causes me the issue, that's probably not great. So I think I pinpointed it. I think that is the problem. I mean, that's the only thing that's changed so logically. So what I did was I took those two monitors and I put them like right fucking in front of me. And then when I get ready to start this show, I move them out of my way so that I can talk with you without anything blocking me. Because God knows you have to see me. Chris says, instead of the big kitchen table idea, you should get a stand-up desk. That will help along with elevated monitors. Really? Well, I can't discount that because how often have you guys suggested something and then typically I scream at you and call you stupid? Which is great fun. Okay? But you might be onto something there. But let's not forget, I did this for 5 years without any pain. And it wasn't until I started to do what I just described to you. And I don't even want to do it right now because then it'll shoot pain down my arm. I don't want it. And I think what's happening is after an entire day of all these little intrusions that are causing me discomfort, I think it kind of adds up. It's become a chronic condition. So, yeah, maybe. Maybe I will stand up. Maybe I'll set up a desk with monitors and stand. But, I mean, who the fuck wants to do that? I'm going to try seated. I'm going to try this first. But that has to be the problem. Now, when I'm sitting here right now, as I'm sitting here with you, I have no issue whatsoever. I feel good. And so I'm going to, try to take it easy and try not to have this happen because if I lean forward and start to like stare at the monitor, which I don't have to now because the radio show is over, I don't have an issue. But if I do that, you wouldn't believe how uncomfortable it is when your arm goes numb like that. You just feel like you're doing something that slowly but surely I'm becoming the next Stephen Hawking. My God. Chris says, go see a chiro. Or he says chiro. I guess it's what he means. Corey says chiropractors are no different than witch doctors. On TikTok and search up chiropractors and look at the hilarious videos because people screaming when the chiropractor pretty much breaks their head off. Oh, those are great. The Y-strap? Are you kidding me? They're fantastic. Amy says, yeah, but you are older now. Well, yeah, but you got to understand, this issue was like night and day. One day I didn't have it, and then the next day I did. It wasn't gradual. Jeremy says, I have similar issues, but instead of my arm going numb, it's my leg. Been that way my whole life. It's awesome. Molly says, look up baby and elderly chiropractic work. Wait a minute. Does that mean I'm elderly? I can't call myself elderly yet. My dad is elderly. I'm only 53, for God's sake. But I feel like I'm 73. Okay. So while this show is starting right now, while it's happening, our friends at the Ottawa County Commission are having their little meeting. This is the first bit of work that they've done in the county since Lucy Ebel was voted out last week, 1 week ago. Our pal Joe Spalding is there, and I heard through the grapevine, thank you to Megan, she reached out to me that Joe Spalding said something directly into the face of Joe Moss. The pain in the ass, who is the Ottawa County Commission head. So I want to play that for you. And then we'll bring in Joe to talk about it because... Oh, fucking A. This happened not long ago. Here you go. Joe Spaulding talking to the commissioners.
Howdy, my name's Joe Spaulding. I live in Holland Township. I want to take some time today to tell you about one specific precinct in District 2, which, if you didn't previously know or if you forgot, was the district where we successfully recalled Lucy Ebel this past week.
Okay, so he's setting the table.
The precinct I want to tell you about is Precinct 3. It's a precinct that supported Donald Trump by a margin of over 352 votes in 2016, which ended up being 24.1% of the total vote in the precinct that year and 3.2% of Donald Trump's total victory margin in 2016. That's about 1/30. 2 years later, Governor Whitmer would lose the precinct to former Attorney General Bill Schuette by 238 votes, or 18.5% of the votes in the precinct. Trump would again win by beating Joe Biden, and in 2020, in that precinct.
You can already tell where he's going. He's producing a long history of this particular precinct in that district that they just voted a Democrat in a recall election. It's historically red in that precinct.
Precinct in a fair election by 195 votes, or 11.2% of the people who voted that year in that precinct. 2 years ago, Gretchen Whitmer lost it by a slightly slimmer margin to Tudor Dixon. This is a precinct that votes in Rose Park Church and is built around Rose Park Elementary, a feeder school for Kirk Cousins, Betsy DeVos, and Bill Huizinga went to high school. Even though it's directly across the street from Butternut Drive, it's directly across the street on Butternut from one of the most Latino precincts in the state of Michigan, it's more than 70% white, and it consistently votes Republican from a religious, business, and a traditional standpoint. Chris freaking Clonion's won that precinct by 119 votes, or 17.5% of the voters who showed up to unelect Lucy last Tuesday. The two precincts with larger margins for Chris were Precinct 7, where Bill Huizinga lives next to the Legends Golf Course, and Precinct 4 in Park Township, a bellwether precinct for three neighboring precincts in District 1 in Park Township. District 1 is the county commission seat held currently by Gretchen Cosby, who is far too conservative for West Michigan. Only four precincts have delivered 1,000 votes for a Democrat in Ottawa County in recent election history, and three of them are in District 1. The Democratic Party is backing Danielle Smith, who is ready to stand up and be part of the firewall to defend.
Okay, so now he's throwing his endorsement behind this next person that he's talking
about. Defend us against Ottawa Impact today and moving forward. The Ottawa Democrats are not like the ones in Lansing or D.C. Our mission is to make sure our commissioners are focused like a laser.
See, I don't know. Whatever. If you say so, Joe, to me, I'm not going to take anybody's word for it. I got to find this shit out on my own.
They're on the needs of the county instead of national level culture wars, the fear-mongering special of the week, and other fiscally imprudent shiny objects. And finally, I just wanted to give a personal thank you directly to Sylvia Rohde. Thank you so much, Sylvia.
Sir, please direct your comments to the board chair.
Joe, if I cared about your opinion, I would check for it in Tucker Carlson's septic tank.
Joe, if I cared about your opinion, I'd check it. I'd find it in Tucker Carlson's septic tank. What?
Anyway, I do want to thank Sylvia, Joe, for giving a very, very cogent and strong argument in favor of universal health care, government-funded health care, in her little screed and rant about the 60% raise you guys are trying to give yourself and Chris. It really is a good argument. Like, that's fine. Like, you know, let's talk more about, like, government-funded health care for people. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board?
It's always so brutal. Oh my God. You could not pay me enough to have that job. These people must be fucking gluttons for punishment. I'd just get up, grab my name placard, and say, you know what? I'm out. Forget it. Patrick writes, I love how he conducts himself. Holy shit. Let's bring him in.
Eric Zane, how's it going?
Big Joe, how are you?
I am fantastic. I think I'm doing a lot better than most of the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say so. By the way, breaking news, they shelved their vote that they were going to do. They were going to vote on the 60% pay increase, and I guess at the last, down to the final minute, they like decided to wait on that.
Yeah, I think that the Coleman Legal Group found a technicality that got them some wiggle room on that. And I don't know what their long-term play is there. But, yeah, they are not voting on it. But the thing that's interesting to me about it is, according to law, they don't have to vote on it. If they don't vote on it, it goes through. And they know that.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's an independent board, and so the board comes up with a proposal for all the raises in the county for all the employees and elected officials, and the board has the right to review it and send it back, but they don't have to, and if they don't, it just sticks.
Right, right. So the idea for your comment was, oh, by the way, this precinct is historically Republican, and we just rub your nose in shit, and our Democrat actually recalled your Republican.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's a very fairly very good summary there, I guess. The district is historically Republican, and there are very specific reasons why it is that I explained it. It's people vote in a church that is tied to an elementary school, Rose Park Elementary, and that elementary feeds students into Holland Christian High School.
Right.
So when people say that Holland or West Michigan is Dutch and religious and conservative, like, if you look at one precinct where that's most concentrated, it's in that precinct.
Right, and right.
So Chris won it.
And yeah. That's actually very, very impressive that he won it by that margin, considering the demographics of what you just described. And that has to make people wonder about the future of Ottawa Impact.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that they are at least cognizant enough to, like, on the board, Ottawa Impact themselves are aware enough to wonder about their own future. But I still don't think they have a full understanding of both what they are doing and how they got in there, and then especially what the response is and what it's going to be.
And then you also spoke about a candidate. Who was that? That was the first time I'd heard that person's name.
So Danielle Smith is the candidate who is running in District 1. She is a fairly conservative, especially fiscally Democrat, but she's got a lot of connections in the business community, and she's a fantastic leader in there. But I think that she ran last year or 2 years ago against Gretchen Cosby and lost when nobody was paying attention.
Okay.
And we already know that since then the dynamics of the county have shifted, because in District 2 we just won the recall.
Right.
So
that will be in November. She hopes to win that.
Yep. And there is a Republican primary. I think that the more conservative of the two is going to win, and I think that is Gretchen Cosby. So we are looking at running against her in November. So
finally, Joe Moss. I mean, Joe. I mean, he said, "Could you please address the chair head and not anyone particular on the board?" So you apparently broke a rule, and you responded with something. I think it was Joe. If I wanted your opinion, I'd look in Tucker Carlson's septic tank. Is that what it was?
Verbatim.
had you been working on that one? Had you been like saving that one just in case, or did that just hit you?
Oh no, I was totally off the cuff. No, so like Joe does this, right? And it's predictable and it's baitable. And I haven't done this in a while, but I used to do this with some more clapbacks. Just ripping into him, because if you talk to any of the other commissioners in there, or if you talk to anybody else in the room, he'll say, "Please address your comments to the chair," and interrupt you. And so he thinks that he's asserting some sort of authority there, but he's really just giving you a chance to rebel if you're fast enough. And so, yeah, that one was one that I had saved up from back when I was doing it last year, almost every meeting. And then we just haven't gotten to that point. He's given me a little bit more leash, but I was directly challenging him on that.
Has he? So that's the first time he's heard that one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, is it your clubhouse favorite, or did you have one in the past that you were more proud of than Tucker Carlson's septic tank?
Oh, no, I think this one was my favorite by far. But I mean, like, Joe, if I wanted your opinion, I'd put Sylvia Rhodey on a hook and cast her in your direction, you know, stuff like that.
Does he remain stoic? Because we can't see his face. Does his face wince when you respond? I mean, how does it unfold on his end?
I've never caught a wince, but you know, normally when I'm doing public speaking, I love making some level of eye contact with the audience. And so I know if like what I'm saying is hitting or if I'm getting some heat or whatever. I cannot get myself to give a fuck what these guys are thinking about what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know it. But it's just kind of anytime you can get some type of affirmation that you've upset someone, that's usually a good thing, in my opinion, because I'm kind of like a troll. So if I can affect somebody, I want to see how they react. But I'm watching the faces of the people behind you, and I think that they're used to it. That no one reacts when you say shit like that. And I'm like, why? I know I would be laughing my dick off if I'm in the background and you say something like that.
Yeah. So the septic tank line did catch some laughs. You know, I've probably got like 40% of the audience chuckling on that. You'll never hear it on the microphone because of the noise filter.
Right, right. So as you walk away or as you move about the chamber, is there any conversation with anyone? Does anybody get smart or are they all just quiet?
They used to try to snap at me or say dumb crap, but like I'm pretty quick and they are not.
Oh my God. Oh, that is something. All right. Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate you. I liked what you did there, and they have to be wondering what is up. I mean, their time has to be coming to an end by now.
Yeah, well, that's right. But it is also a very, very long campaign season. So we've got a few more months of their bullshit that we've got to tolerate. And Eric Zane, I super appreciate you. And I know things will be heating up more towards August and November. So feel free to reach out anytime in between or up then, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've always made the time and I appreciate it. And people like to hear you, even if they don't agree with you, which is fine. I don't care if people have different opinions, that's totally fine. I just like throwing it out there. I think you're a straight shooter, and I always like to hear you talk.
Yeah, I want your audience to be entertained because I know that's what you do, and I'm just trying to do my best, Eric Zane, when I'm talking.
Oh my God! All right, buddy, I appreciate you. Thanks.
Take care.
There you go. That's Joe Spaulding. Holy shit! Such a smart ass, in a good way. I would struggle against that, you know. I want to stay on his good side. Holy fuck! All right, so that is what's happening with him. Thank you very much to those people who are watching this show right now on Facebook, X, and YouTube. I appreciate you, but I'm going to send you on your way. So there you go. Facebook and Twitch brought to you by my friends at Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. X brought to you by Blue Frost IT. Follow me on those platforms. Follow me on YouTube as well and Instagram. Okay. Yesterday, it was a fun-filled evening at Bosco's Pub, and I heard one of the funniest jokes I've ever heard ever. It was great. Corey says, is Kenny still gone? Of course not. We're on great terms. Kenny was with me all during the Patreon. Where were you, dickhead? No, Kenny gets butt hurt for short periods of time. That's it. It's cool. We're to a level now where all we do is fight and it's just happy. It's just happy fighting. He feels better when he tells me to go fuck myself. And I'm here to make people happy. So that's how I make people happy. As I was doing my thing at Bosco's Pub, I like to make small talk. I just try to, hey, how are you? I try to be friends with everybody. And that is not only the people that are eating there as I make their food, but the staff. And there's a young lady who works there. I don't want to say her name, but I don't know. I think she's maybe 22 or 23. And I don't even want to describe what she looks like in case anybody knows her. So I'm just going to say one of the servers. She's a young lady. And as I started working there, somebody, without asking, had informed me that she's in a bit of turmoil right now because there was an issue a few months ago where she wrecked her car. Actually, she had like a boot on the foot when I met her. I go, oh, hey, what the heck going on? She goes, yeah, I was in a car wreck. I go, oh my God. Well, are you doing okay? Yeah, it's almost healed. Okay, great. That's it. So then I didn't say another word. And then somebody else tipped me off that, and I don't know what the context was, but she was in fact hammered when she was driving and got into an accident. And I don't know if it was one car or two cars. I don't think she hurt anybody in another car, but her boyfriend was with her, and he was hurt. He broke his femur, and that's the big one, you know, between his knee and his hip. And so he was fucked up, and, well, unfortunately, the police were involved, and she was rightfully busted. So now she has to face the music. The big problem on her end, though, is that because of the injury to the boyfriend, this is a felony charge. And it's going to trial. And this is not great. There is a pretty significant chance that this young lady, who is as sweet as peaches, she's so great. I love her. So there's a high chance that she was going to serve time on this felony charge. And I don't know what the technical term, drunk driving, whatever. And but I have not brought it up with her. She didn't tell me this information. Someone else did. So I kept it to myself. I didn't let on to her that I am aware of it because I don't want her to go around thinking that people are talking about her. I don't want to make her feel worse than she already does. And anytime that she's working, I'm guessing she's probably trying not to dwell on what could be coming down the pipe for her future. So, I mean, I don't want to, in the middle of the workday, just bring it up for any dumb reason. I just don't want to address it. So yesterday, there was a little downtime, and I said, so you got any plans this summer? You going to go on any trips? And she looks at me like this, like, ugh. She goes, yeah, a jail cell. And I go, oh, fuck. I go, are you serious? Oh, no. And I just didn't say a word. And I go, I'm really sorry about that. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry that you're going through this. And then I said to her, I go, I'm sure you've learned your lesson on that. I go, but just so you know, you're not alone. I used to drive drunk all the fucking time. In fact, I had been pulled over many, many times, but happened to somehow manage to not raise any suspicion with the officer. It was at least two or three occasions that I was bombed, and somehow I got out of it. She goes, you know, I was learning in my class, because one of the things, I guess she was taking a class about, I guess you do that maybe to win favor with the prosecution or whatever. I don't know. I've never had to deal with this. And she says that the average person drives drunk 80 times before they actually get caught. I go, oh, I believe it. We're everybody in this dining room, everybody here has driven drunk. Okay. Maze and Blue says the old pennies in the mouth trick. Yep. Yep. I know where I was when it happened. I was driving my Chevy Chevette, of all things, which can barely get over the speed limit, let alone speed. I was driving with Pooh Bear, of all people, who was not drunk. No, I got it. Traveling westbound towards Mount Pleasant in the small community of Oil City. This area between Midland and Mount Pleasant is owned by the state police. They completely patrol it. You know, It's like a dead zone. Sure enough, the single strobe, red strobe on the blue car pulling over Eric. I grab everything in the little compartment that has all my change in it and put it in my mouth. Why would you do that? I was told that pennies in your mouth works if you get if you have to blow a breathalyzer test. Now, this is not true. This is a goddamn myth. But every time I'd get pulled over, I'd take everything in the ashtray and put it in my mouth. Cigarette butts. As he's approaching the car, I hold my hand like this, and I just go, and all the money falls into my hand, and I slowly put it back, sopping wet with my spit. Hey, how you doing, officer? No, trooper. Trooper, how are you? Now, I'm bombed. Not bad, sir. You know why I pulled you over? Well, I guess I may have been speeding, trooper. Yeah, this is a 55. I clocked you doing 72 in this car, if you call it that. Yeah, I know it. I know it. I definitely did. License, registration, proof of insurance. No problem, trooper. Honey, could you please open up the glove box there in our 1982 Chevette that we own and get the important papers for this gentleman? Here you go, honey. Thank you, dear. Trooper, here you go. Walks back to the car, comes back. Mr. Zaitunian, I'm going to write you a ticket for speeding. Just going to give you 10 over. That'll save you a little bit of money. Just going to call this number on the back if you want to contest this. If not, just pay it in full by this date, and you'll be fine. You're probably going to be assessed points, and you might have a problem with your insurance carrier. But otherwise, slow it down for me, would you? Trooper, I appreciate you, and I won't let this happen again. Thank you so much. Take the ticket, and then we put it in D, start driving down the road, and fill my pants with shit. As I continue to make my way driving drunk all the way home. Wow. Yeah. Maureen says, never tell them why you think you were pulled over. Makes them tell you. Make them tell you. Just a little friendly advice from a senior citizen. If you say so. So anyway, the fact that she said, after I go, hey, you got to take it. I should have not asked that question. I should lesson learned. No longer will I ask questions of this young lady. Hey, you got any fun trips planned? Yeah, jail cell. I go up to Doug. I go, Doug, I just asked her if she's got any fun plans. She said a jail cell. We both start cracking. I'm like, ah. Oh, my God. Bob says, you got stopped for going 17 over. Now drive 17 under. Kenny writes, I got pulled over this past weekend for the dumbest thing. License plate frame covers my county on my plate, and apparently that's a no-no. Corey says, the moral of the story is get better at driving drunk. Practice makes perfect. No, I can't support. That's a stupid comment. Wow. I couldn't believe she said that, though. That was quite a thing to say. Uber if you're drunk, says Molly, without a doubt. We didn't have Ubers back then. We didn't even have the internet then. Apparently more than one person is having a run-in with the law. That would be Nikki. She adds, I got pulled over last night for my license plate light being out. He asked if I knew about it. How the hell would I know that? It's a good point. Jimmy writes, is it a Pac-Man license plate cover, Kenny? Tyler says, bummer for her if she's trying to work on a summer tan. She's going to have cell bar tan lines. I hope not. The story when Charity Scam Mike, my brother-in-law, got popped for drunk driving. He rolled his car. Cops show up. He's crawled out, and he's just sitting there on the side of the road, and they go, uh-oh. Got to be a drunk. Sure enough, he's hammered. He gets 10 days in the county. However, I might have told this story before. They give you every weekend for 10 weeks. So you work all week, Friday, somebody drops you off, you walk into the jail. He smokes Newport cigarettes. If black people smoke, a lot of them smoke menthols. Newports are menthols. He walks into the jail, and all you do basically is just like a courtyard, an indoor open space. They put everybody in there, and you're not moved. That's where you're going to be for the next 2 days. If you want to go to sleep, you lay on the floor and sleep. There's a TV, and they'll bring you a couple of bologna sandwiches every day for each day. That's it. And then you leave on Sunday evening, and then you've got 2 days in the books. He shows up there, and he's got his smokes, and he lights up a cigarette. 90% of the inmates are black. They see that, and they come walking up. Hey, man. Hey, white boy. Give me one of them new pose. Oh, yeah, here. Gives him a smoke. All of a sudden, he's out of cigarettes. They've taken all of his smokes. So he comes up with a plan. On Sunday, he goes home. He works Monday through Friday. On Friday, he's getting ready. My stepsister, Elizabeth, is taking him back to jail. And he goes, stop here. He pulls over at Buscemi's. And he goes in and gets a carton of Newports. And so then she's like, what do you get? He goes, I'm taking these in. So he goes in, and then he's like, you get a pack? You get a pack? You get a pack? You get a pack? This is fucking survival is what this is. Oh, my God. It's brilliant. I love that man. Charity Scam Mike. I'll be seeing him coming up on Memorial Day, which, by the way, first of all, this week, we've got a big fraud Thursday going on this Thursday. It is Who Are These Zanes, followed by the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. That will come and go. The weekend will come and go, where on Friday, I'm doing the Rangers soccer game at Davenport University. Saturday, I'm at Berlin Raceway. Come see me. Buy a ticket and let me know you're there. We'll sit together. Excuse me. Sunday happens. Then next week, on Thursday, I'm sorry, Monday through Wednesday, and then Thursday, I can't figure out if I'm going to be doing a podcast that day or not. For sure, there'll be nothing on Friday and Memorial Day, and possibly Thursday. It all depends on work schedules and shit like that. So just so you're aware, this is the big fish fry weekend. Not this coming weekend, but the weekend after up north. And the interesting thing is I got to take Pooh Bear up there on Thursday up north. And then I got to come back on Friday because I got a hockey game, a Griffins home game. They are in the Central Division Finals. Now, you need to understand this. This fish fry, Jimmy asks, you still coming to Maine, Eric? Yes. I don't know if I'll be able to see you because I'll be in Acadia if you want to drive. But yeah, definitely. We're leaving on, let's see, when are we leaving for Maine? We leave Friday, June 28th. Nick says, if either team sweeps, no game on Friday. That's true. I want either the Griffins to sweep. I definitely want the Griffins to sweep. But if they're gonna lose that series, I would want them to get swept just because of what I just got done talking about. So last year, Memorial Day, we have a massive fish fry. Okay? That ends. From that time period all the way to this time period, one full year, that gives Mike plenty of time to catch perch and walleye. He brings pounds of both up north. We got a big fryer, and then he's got the batter, and we fry up this fish. I help. Okay, there's Team Blue and Team Pink. Team Blue does the cooking. Mike handles the fish. I handle the French fries. I've got two mini fryers. Team Pink, they're in charge of plates, forks, napkins, condiments, and helping the old folks get their food while Team Blue cooks. It's an unbelievable system. We'll probably have 20, 25 people there. It's going to be awesome. Excited about that. And yet another year of seeing my dad. I don't know what it is. Any opportunity that I can see my dad, I'm like, son of a bitch, get me there. Get me there. I know that we are probably down to, I don't even like to say it, how many, the number of visits that I will have with him. I mean, physically, he's very, very healthy, as far as I know. But I'm just wondering about his brain. It's starting to creep into everybody's mindset more and more. I don't even know why I'm mentioning it now. It doesn't make me feel good. But anyway, that is what is coming up. All right. Detroit Lions football. I've got news. My God. So when the Lions, a few years ago, they traded Matthew Stafford to the Rams. And they get a bunch of draft picks, which turned out to be awesome because they got a lot of great players. And that essentially was the trade. That's all we were interested in. We trade Stafford, and we get a bunch of draft picks from the Rams. And then at the last second, the Rams said, the Lions, like, yeah, can you sweeten the deal anymore? We need a play. We got to have somebody play quarterback. Can you give us Goff? I mean, he sucks shit, but will you give us Goff? And they go, what the fuck? He's useless. So they gave Jared Goff. Now, Goff, when he came out of college, he was a number one draft pick, okay? Top draft pick. And he did great in his first year, and then eventually led the team to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, he kind of wore out his welcome because he couldn't do shit after that. So they go, yeah, you can take this guy. He sucks shit. Take this Jared Goff piece of shit. Lions get him. And he immediately sucks. It was horrible. Year one was awful. And in year one for the Rams, Stafford wins the Super Bowl. So all Lions fans are pissed. We go, oh, yeah, of course we trade away the guy who goes wins the Super Bowl. Jesus Christ, we suck dick. Fuck it, eh? Well, then we get a bunch of great draft picks. We make our draft. Okay, awesome. Little did we know what was coming down the pipe. Year number two, Lions start out 1-6. I'm like, you suck dick. You're so terrible. Jesus, this Dan Campbell's a fucking asshole. He doesn't even know how to read. Fuck this guy. And then in their next 10 games, they go 8-2. And that makes them 9-8 in year number two. And they just missed the playoffs. But everybody's like, God damn, they turned it around. That Goff isn't so bad. Everybody's like, I don't know, man. Maybe. And then last year, 12-5. Everybody's like, Jared Goff. Lions fucking destroy everybody in the playoffs. And then they choke in the NFC Championship game. They're 26 minutes away from the Super Bowl. The motherfuckers choked. Oh, my God. Well, the Lions have rewarded Goff. They have given him a new contract, according to Adam Schefter. It's a four-year contract worth $212 million, and $170 million of that guaranteed. And that, my friends, makes him the second highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. He's ahead of Lamar Jackson. He's ahead of, think of any other great quarterback. He's ahead of Matt Stafford. The only guy that's ahead of him in the league is Joe Burrow. He's making more money than every quarterback in the league except Joe Burrow. He's getting $53 million a year. Burrow gets $55 million. Wow. Is that something? I mean, he was on the bottom. That's crazy. In life, that can happen. You can be at the bottom, and suddenly you're at the top. And you can also be at the top, and then suddenly you're at the bottom. I'm still on the bottom. Still waiting to be back on top. If anybody wants to help put me up there, please sign up for Patreon. You will be helping put me up back near the top. So that is awesome. Very, very cool. Meanwhile, the Lions season tickets, they all sold out. They're gone. Holy shit. And then tomorrow at 8 p.m., the NFL reveals their schedules. And then the Lions will start selling single game tickets. And so those are going to sell out rather quickly. And then that's it. And then the only way you'll be able to see a Lions game is by going to these legal scalping sites like StubHub or whatever and pay like five times the regular price, which is such bullshit. My God. I mean, scalping's illegal, but you can sell tickets on a website. How is that? That's the same exact thing. I love watching the games on TV. I like the one time that I went to a Lions game. It was great. I did enjoy that. But, all right. The NFL has already announced that the Chiefs will host the season opener again, taking on Baltimore in a rematch of the AFC Championship game. There's also going to be a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. That will be the Packers and the Eagles. The Lions, of course, in their division, they play Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota two times each. So that's six games right there. So we have to figure out 11 other games. I'm anxious to find out who they play. Go Lions! Go Lions! Anyway, Joe Martinez says, who cares? He does not like the Lions. He is not a fan. He is still not on board. There is no way Joe Martinez would ever be on board. If the Lions became fans of A&E Heating and Cooling, let's just say that one of the Lions, let's say the owner of the team lived in this area. All right? And Joe Martinez showed up. So, what's her name? Sheila Hamp is the owner of the team. Let's say she calls 616-516-8579. Says, hey, I'm Sheila Hamp. I've got 15 air conditioners outside of my mansion. Will you work on them? And he says, sure. And he shows up there, and he's looking macho as always. She falls in love with him and gives him oral. And then she's like, I love the taste of your semen so much that I'm going to change the name of the team to the Detroit A&E Heating and Coolings. And they have Joe's logo on their helmet. And then they win all their games. And they win. They go crazy through the playoffs. And then they win the Super Bowl. And then in the celebration, the locker room, Sheila Hamp gives more oral to Joe Martinez, and instead of champagne, she's spitting jizz onto the players. If that happened, Joe Martinez would still not be a fan of the football team. Not interested. Chris says, Sheila Ham? I said Hamp, idiot. Joe says that if she's in the listening area and asked him to come fix her AC, he wouldn't do it. He's that much an anti-Detroit Lion person. He hates them. If that team announced an ownership, a new ownership group of all Mexicans, okay? So the ownership is owned by somebody with the last name of Morales. Would you then root for the team? Let's say it's run and they have only Mexican players and Mexican front office members. it's all Mexican. Would you then root for the Lions? We all know you cannot stand them. All right. Where am I here? I don't even know. I don't even know what's going on. What a day. As I indicated to you, I will be at Berlin Raceway coming up this weekend. And I want to see you there. Head over to BerlinRaceway.com and get tickets for this weekend's races. They're just $14. Then let me know that you're going. All right? And then we'll hang out. I will be there at the races this weekend. And I want you to be there. $14 a ticket. Parking is free. 15 and under is free. Bring the kids. You can bring coolers that are 12 by 18 or smaller. Pack it with all your snacks. It'll save you a ton of cash. All your soft drinks can go there. No glass, no alcohol. You can get that at the venue. Berlin Raceway, the best value and entertainment for your family at BerlinRaceway.com. Thank you to Blue Frost IT, the managed IT service provider for this podcast. Blue Frost IT, you can find them at BlueFrostIT.com. They can help you with anything for your home or your business. You can find them online or just call 616-285-50. That's 616-285-50. I have a Vouch store, vouch.store/Eric Zane, where there are tons of products for sale. You can find what you need when it comes to coffee, the toothbrush, the Camp Craft cocktails, not to mention the massager, and what else? Oh, the dog treats. The yak sticks, the dog supplements, the dog food, all at vouch.store/Eric Zane, where creators and small business meet. Thank you so much. I will be back. I'm going to take a quick break and come back after this. Joe Martinez says, that bus crash and burn and Harbaugh will spank them nuts. So does that mean if Harbaugh, who is the coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, plays the Lions? You got to want the Chargers to win the game, right? That's what I'm guessing. I know you're really a big fan of Jim Harbaugh. All right. I'll be back, folks. Stick around. All right. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate you so much. If you live in Michigan and don't like the Lions, you are a traitor, says Rebecca. Uncle Christian says easy does it. All right, thank you. I got a little update about the Kuipers family. 30 donations now, total $1,400 of the $1,500 goal. You're all very kind. So just a little bit of background. 12, 13 years ago, Tim Kuipers and his lovely better half, Chris, began fostering Zeke. Zeke's birth mother shook him violently, permanently damaging his brain. So that means a very challenging life, inability to walk. Communication is very, very little. Only those closest to him, that would be Tim and Chris, can get the type of interaction that might be able to convey any type of message. But they, as fostering parents in the community, which that is already exceptional, and they've fostered many, many young people over the years and helped out in any way they can in Michigan's foster program, they said, of all of our foster cases, we want to adopt Zeke. So they absolutely adopted Zeke, and they are the mother and father of Zeke. And though a lifelong battle of medical maladies awaited him, that didn't sway them in any way, shape, or form. And right now they are having a tough time because there was a medical issue that is causing him, Zeke, to be in the hospital for many, many days, weeks, as they try to battle through the issues that he is having right now. He is intubated, but they are thinking he can get through it. However, Dad Tim has to be with him for every moment. He can't work. Mom is traveling back and forth from their home. And so there's a lot of travel. There's a lot of expense. There's a loss of income. So I felt a very modest amount was put forth on GoFundMe of $1,500 so that they can be made whole or at least just help them survive the stoppage of work. And so we started talking about yesterday. So thanks so much to the people who have thrown a few bucks at it. And yeah, that's fantastic. But if anybody is listening right now, if you could just throw a few bucks at it, that would be fantastic. I see a lot of $5 and $10. That's great. I see people 20, 25. I did help myself. I didn't want you to think that I was just talking, making you do it. I wanted to do some of the lifting too. Both Pellerito brothers, both the good one and the bad one donated. That's a joke. No, but Mike's a jackass. Joe is not. Anyway, if you want to, that's weird. If you want to help out, just I linked it up on Facebook, but you can find it. I should probably get it right now, and then I can share it with you. That'll be make things easier for sure. So that has been just very, very kind. They appreciate the help, and they are nearing the goal of $1,500, and if it goes over that, then thank God. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Those two work tirelessly, and everybody loves them. They're nothing. They are good eggs, those Kuipers. Not related to Kevin Kuipers. And not that Kevin's a... You probably think I'm going to say Kevin Kuipers is a bad egg. No, he's not at all. He's good, too. Especially when he's drinking. That's one of our favorite things in the world.
Y'all wanna make fun of me when I get fucked up on Zaniac Zoom? Fuck off of me.
Zaniac Zoom.
I need to go to bed. Are we gonna beer bong another third beer?
Oh, that's the big one. That burp. Are we going to beer bong another third beer?
Are we going to beer bong another third beer?
And the inflection. Are we going to beer bong another third beer?
Are we going to beer bong another third beer?
Maureen writes, no more beer for Kevin. I think you did this more than once. I don't know where the other one is. I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Good. No beer bombs. No more beer. No more beer for Kevin. No more beer for Kevin.
Oh, shit. That was a long time ago. Kevin doesn't drink beer anymore. I don't know about that. Kenny says Jim or Stevie's are great too. Yeah, she got hammered too.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking. Laws.
Hi, O'Neill.
Hi, O'Neill.
I want to see O'Neill all the time.
I want to see O'Neill all the time.
Girl, I can get. When can I meet that boy?
When can I meet that boy?
I don't know what she was doing there. When can I meet that boy?
When can I meet that boy? That boy. My fucking Pellerito. Ain't no laws when you're drinking. Laws.
Hey, honey, how you doing?
Hey, honey, how you doing? Hey, honey, how you doing?
Hey, honey, how you doing?
Hey, honey, how you doing?
Uncle Christian says, sounds like Kumia's mom. I don't know how Anthony's mother, God rest her soul, sounded. Who are you, Uncle Christians? I need to know who you are. Are you from the where are these podcasts realm? The compound media realm? What the fuck is your story? WATP, oh my God. You know, today is another Who Are These Broadcasters Day. Christian Blatt and myself will be on the Who Are These Podcasts YouTube channel, kicking ass and taking names. Another rib-roaring edition of Who Are These Broadcasters will take place at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay? All right. Where I live, there are two stories going around about of incidents where cops were trying to chase down people that they wanted for felonies. And it led to the bad guy running on foot and then the cops hitting the bad guy with the car, or the alleged bad guy with the car. Okay? In both of them, the guys who got struck are dead. All right? Now, both are criminals, or alleged criminals. They got warrants out for their arrest. Okay, so essentially we can say that both people are who are now dead were huge pieces of shit. In one story, the guy's black, and the other story, the guy's white. In both cases, the cops hit the dude, went flying, and croaked. Here's the latest on this story. Right now, typical, they've got attorneys, and they're trying to, okay, here you go.
At 6 tonight, we are learning new details on the Kent County chase that led to the death of 17-year-old Riley Doggett.
All right, that's Riley Doggett. Now, the other one was a black guy, and that video has been released, and the cop was chasing him, and then the cop hit the shit out of him with the car, and the guy goes flying into a building, and you see him on the ground going, oh my God, I'm hurt so bad. And by the time they got him to the hospital, he died. So they want justice. They're like, okay, even though they were trying to apprehend him, he's a fuck up, we know, but you shouldn't have killed him. And I agree with that. These people, ultimately, if you're a felon and you're a thief or whatever, you don't deserve to die. But at the end of the day, I don't really feel bad when fucking assholes get killed, okay? But everybody does feel bad, and now they're like, we need justice for this dead asshole.
Are learning new details on the Kent County chase that led to the death of 17-year-old Riley Doggett.
Police reports obtained by Target 8 show that a witness spotted a gun on one of the suspects involved in the pursuit, which ended when a Kent County deputy struck and critically injured Doggett last month. He died on Friday.
Target 8 investigator Ken Kolker has those details tonight. Ken?
Brian and Sue, we obtained these Kent County Sheriff's reports from the attorney for Riley Doggett's family.
Ken going casual with jeans.
Family. While a witness spoke about seeing a gun, there was no indication in reports that Doggett himself was armed.
The Kent County deputy who struck Riley Doggett with his patrol car on April 8th had first spotted the stolen Range Rover minutes earlier at US 131 and 44th Street in Wyoming. That was less than an hour after the same vehicle and a stolen Nissan
chased
by Holland
Irvine's
police, a pursuit that reached 120 miles an hour and was terminated near the Kent-Ottawa County line. The chase in Kent County ended when Doggett and his alleged accomplice jumped from the Range Rover, which crashed into parked cars at 32nd and South Division. Doggett described by...
Okay, so these two are complete menaces.
...his family's attorney as a passenger in the Range Rover was running away when the deputy struck him with his cruiser. A nearby body shop worker told police he saw the second suspect, identified as a 17-year-old from Grand Rapids Township, with a gun in his waistband and a hand on the gun as he ran past the shop. The suspect, he said, told him to not tell anybody.
Then oh, yeah, that's going to work.
Jumped a fence. Police arrested him a short time later in a nearby backyard.
There's zero allegations anywhere that Riley...
This is a local trial attorney. You can tell because he wears his hair like that.
Had any weapons whatsoever.
Police said they never found a gun.
He was searching for hours after this. Never found that gun. That's because there wasn't one.
The family's attorney questions why the sheriff's department refuses to release dash cam video.
Yes, the police can use limited force, but it cannot be deadly force against him. And using a car is deadly force. It's no different under the law than using a gun.
All right. I do believe that he's probably right. And that probably will be a point of contention. I still don't feel bad that these two fucking assholes are dead.
The county sheriff's office has said that Doggett was, quote, unintentionally struck, and that it was a, quote, direct result of the inherent risk accompanying the serious criminal activity that Riley was engaged in during.
You know what's not going to happen to me? I'm not going to get run over by a cop today. You know why? Because I'm not going to do anything that's going to have a cop chasing me.
In the weeks and months leading up to this incident. In the report, deputies say the stolen Range Rover had been involved in, quote, multiple larcenies, stolen vehicles, stolen handguns, and other multiple pursuits in the area. Quote, the subjects inside were also known to be armed with guns, the report goes on to say. Kent County detectives had been monitoring some of the suspects and conducted a search warrant 3 days before the chase. The reports show they recovered stolen gift cards, key fobs, AirPods, and two handguns. Doggett's 17-year-old accused accomplice is charged as a juvenile with fleeing a police officer, receiving and concealing the stolen Range Rover, and resisting police.
The deputy remains on paid leave. The Michigan State Police are investigating the death and will turn over the case to the Kent County prosecutor, which would decide on charges, if any.
It always sucks because whenever something like this happens, then like the community gathers round. They're like, oh, yeah, I got to have justice. I can't believe he was killed. He was such a good kid. No, he wasn't. He's a piece of shit. Okay? At the end of the day, I feel bad for the cop. Because there's a pretty good chance that the cop is going to be the one who gets in trouble for this shit. You know? So I don't have sympathy. Your kid was an asshole. Driving recklessly through neighborhoods could have killed somebody. What a fucking idiot. Jesus Christ. Ben Johnson reminds me of Ron Popeil. Yes. Nate says, sounds like he got justice. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Donut Dan, who used to be a cop, says you're supposed to hit them with the door, not the fender. Damn dumbass rookies. Corey says, maybe if you didn't raise the little asshole, this wouldn't have happened. Yeah, everybody's so entitled.
I can't believe they hurt my baby.
Yeah, fuck that. This is bound to happen to a loser like that. Holy shit. Let's see. I think there's something else going on. I think this is a... Yeah, this is a follow. Whoops. I don't like that at all. That's hurting my ears. That's a commercial I don't want to hear. The locals are marching. Wanting answers as to why this kid got killed. This is that story.
Hit by a cruiser while running from officers. The 28-page document was shared with us by the attorney representing Riley Doggett's family. The incident happened April 8th.
Oops.
Doggett died last week.
He looks like an asshole.
Here's what we're learning tonight. The report says the vehicle Doggett was riding in was a stolen white Range Rover. Officers say they knew the vehicle because it had been involved in multiple thefts in Kent and Ottawa counties. The department's detective bureau had been monitoring some of the suspects who had ties to the stolen vehicle. The report says they executed a search warrant just days before recovering stolen gift cards, key fobs, AirPods, and two handguns.
Like at the start of the story, they show the picture of him with the girl, and it's at a graduation. There's a little baby there. It's a nice group photo. And whenever they show that, it's all that's when people like start to feel sympathetic towards a dead asshole. They need to show a picture that's actually more reflective of the type of cocksucker that the stupid bastard was instead of that nice photo.
The other suspect involved in the April 8th incident is 17 years old and is charged as a juvenile. Also in the report, a responding officer says he saw first aid being performed on Doggett, writing, "Based on the injuries that were visible, I was not sure if he had been run over by a patrol unit or had perhaps been injured when he fled out of the vehicle being pursued." Tonight, Doggett's loved ones are grieving, believing he should still be here. Our Matt Witkos shares their message.
Loved ones gathering to remember Riley Doggett, family and friends gathering here in front of the Kent County Sheriff's Office. Ugh. And actually, if you could see right behind
me, I'd come out to get off the fucking lawn.
Behind me here, you could see multiple people have gotten into the front portion of that lobby area. The 17-year-old died from his injuries after being hit by a deputy vehicle last month. Investigators previously said he was in a stolen car being chased. His sister says he didn't deserve this.
No justice!
No peace!
Oh, God damn it!
No justice!
No peace!
Dozens marching around the Kent County Sheriff's Office.
Fuck.
Justice for Samuel!
Justice for Samuel!
100 people showing up. Asking for accountability.
God, Mike, this what a motley crew this is. What a bunch.
Everything to what happened to Riley.
Every sign it says justice for Riley. It reminds me of that Chappelle bit when he's doing Juicy Smoulier, that famous French actor. Justice for Juicy. Justice for Juicy.
Doggett's sister, Taylor Daniels, leading the march for dignity of humanity.
I would much rather
from his injuries.
There's a high risk.
Oh, okay.
I understand that when
this is Robert S. He shows up in every one of these cases. Whenever there's some loser who gets killed by a cop, this guy puts on his stupid fedora and shows
by
up.
A deputy's cruiser, he died from his injuries.
We want law enforcement to be a little more careful when they're chasing people that are on foot and understand that when
We want people to not be assholes so cops don't have to chase them. How about that?
An iron hit flesh, there's a high risk of death. So we just want to do everything we can to preserve life, and we need your support.
Mm-hmm.
Former
okay.
Kent County Commissioner Robert Womack asking for transparency.
He looks like one of the Blues Brothers.
See, in the release of body and dash cam video.
There needs to be a communication between our sheriff and the mother of this child because she has some questions.
Michigan State Police say they have handed the investigation over to the Kent County Prosecutor's Office. Prosecutor Chris Brecker tells me he has requested for more information.
Yeah, it's a bummer that you lost your kid, but it's sorry that you were so shitty as a parent.
Doggett's family plans on marching on June 5th at the state capitol. They plan to join in with Samuel Sterling's family.
And that's the other idiot who was killed. Same way, cop ran over him.
Push for policy change. Reporting in Kent County, I'm Matt Witkos, Fox 17 News.
The Kent County Sheriff's Office did release a statement several weeks ago. It read in part that KCSO needs to clarify that Riley was unintentionally struck by a police cruiser, adding this incident is a direct result of the inherent risk accompanying the serious criminal activity.
That's correct.
That Riley was engaged in during the weeks and months leading up to this incident.
In my opinion, okay, that's unfortunate that someone died, but it's his own goddamn fault. Nestle will take their side. It's election season, says Chris. I don't know if it's up to them to take that case. There would have to be precedent. First the county has to assess whether or not they're going to make any charges. And then perhaps the state could too, I guess. I don't know. Uncle Christian says Jesus took the wheel. Tyler says, I hate protesters so much. Bob says, what'll be great is if they release a dash cam and the kid turned and pointed a gun at the cop before getting pancaked. I don't think they found a weapon. I think he was weaponless. Can you imagine if we watch a video and there you can hear the audio and the cop's like, get him, that's 5 points. Holy shit. Wow. All right. What else am I doing here? I might be out of gas. Let's see. Talked about that. Oh, shit. I got nothing else to talk about. As I work with you, as we do this show, as you know, the Patreon will happen shortly thereafter. As I gather my things and we once again convene on Patreon. Sign up for 7 days free. That's the way I like to do it on Patreon. People go to Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane. They sign up for 7 days free. Once you sign up, you're encouraged to immediately cancel it. You're like, what? No, seriously, cancel it. That way you get the 7 days no matter what. And then if you're like, well, your Patreon sucks dick, I don't want it, you won't be charged and you won't forget about it. I don't want your money if you don't want the podcast. Okay. Or just wait if you want. I guess you don't have to cancel it. That's up to you. But you get the 7 days no matter what. And then if you do cancel it and then you're like, you know what? I like this fucking thing. I think I want to give EZ some money. Then just sign up again. Give me $5 or $10 a month. $5 a month is all the audio. $10 a month is the audio, the video, and the live stream. And if you do sign up for 1 year, I'll take 10% off of the cost. So what was $120 for $10 a month, tier two? That's $108. And then if it's $60 for all the audio a year, it's $54. I try to make this as easy as possible for you. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Frank Fuss from My Policy Shop Insurance. He's the guy who you call when you need health care because you're in between jobs. Okay. And sometimes if you're working full time and they fire you, they go, all right, here's, you can sign up for Cobra. It's $30,000 this month for health insurance. Throw that in the garbage. Get your insurance from healthcare.gov. That's Obamacare. And Frank Fuss is going to help you every step of the way. Go to buyinsurancehere.com. And he is a licensed independent insurance agent / broker. You don't pay him. He gets paid by the insurance companies. And he's an absolute genius. Thank you to the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Hang on. Something just popped into my head. And I got to write it down so I don't forget. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage, they'll get you into a mortgage today, 231-332-6505. Anywhere in the U.S., they can help you out. Get you into a mortgage very, very quickly, 231-332-6505. We already mentioned Berlin Raceway. I already mentioned Joe Martinez, 616-516-8579. Get your AC tuned up today. And finally, Impact Power Sports. That's where you go to get a side-by-side, an ATV, UTV, golf cart made by Yamaha, e-bike, motorcycle, lawnmower. They have it all. That is, my friends, at Impact Power Sports, online at impactpowersportsmi.com. That is my time. Oops, sorry about your ears. And I will talk to you on Patreon. Till then, thank you. And a stark reminder from Kenny. Thank you. I was so quick to get out of here that I forgot the asshole of the day. Holy shit. Aha. Nominees for the asshole of the day. Yesterday it was Keir Johnson. Johnston, that's the guy who had the dress that was either gold or black. I like what Stevie is saying. Just for kicks, we'll make the asshole of the day Joe Moss. There you go. Thank you for being here. Podcasting is fun. You should listen to more of it. The Patreon is next. Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.